existing microphone does work, that's good. We acknowledge the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of the land, and we pay our respects to their elders, past and present. And I note, thanks to Councillor Byram bringing this to my attention, it's the International Day of the Indigenous Person, and the theme in 2016 is people's right to be educated. Goal 4 of the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development calls for ensuring equal access to all levels of education and vocational training for the vulnerable, including people with disabilities, Indigenous peoples, and children in vulnerable situations. So I thought it was appropriate to declare that, and have no doubt that that fits with Council's objectives just in our own local sphere. I note that the audio of the General Council meeting will be recorded and will be made available on the City of Marion website. I ask if any elected members anticipate conflict of interest with any items on the agenda. Councillor Pfeiffer.
Thank you, Worship. I've got a perceived conflict, which I think I'd probably be more comfortable to leave the room for, in relation to George Street, Dwyer Road, because I work quite closely with one of the key proponents of that project.
Very well. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Worship. Glendor Laneways motion there. It is currently now a public road, however this is a discrete project which may encounter a perceived conflict of interest, so I'll be leaving the room.
Thank you. If there are no others, I'll ask for someone to move confirmation of the minutes of the 26th of July meeting. It's moved Councillor Blescu, seconded Councillor Telfer. All those in favour? Was against? That's carried. Now there's no good time to do this, and we don't actually have a moment in the agenda, but I with sadness I refer to the passing of Clem Senior, a former councillor and alderman of the City of Marion, and with your indulgence, members, I'll just make a few remarks about his contribution to the city. Clem was born in 1920 and passed away just a short time ago. He had a very rich and intense life. He signed up in 1940 and served in an anti-tank unit in Greece, Northern Africa and Italy, with the 8th Army, the British 8th Army. He married Barbara, to whom he was married for 69 years, and they came out to Australia in the late 1950s. 1969, Clem was first elected to the City of Marion, and he was a member of council almost continuously over the next 35 years, which is a remarkable effort. Clem was involved in many local projects. He was involved in setting up the production line for Chrysler when they moved to Tonsley. He worked on the construction of the Southwestern Suburbs Drainage Scheme. He he contributed to building a church hall on Dagonal Road, which became the St Margaret of Scotland Church of England mission. A lot of current members may not understand the role of alderman, but it was essentially an elected member who was a councillor for the whole of the city, and we had concurrently those who were members for individual wards plus those who were members for the whole city. Something like a House of Representatives and Senate sort of arrangement, but all sitting in the chamber at the same time. In January 2008, he was presented with an Order of Australia Medal for service to the community of Marion through local government, and his involvement in ex-service and youth organisations. And in honour of his contribution to the local community, I ask that we maintain a minute's silence. Thank you, members. And with your leave, I would ask that a brief summary of these remarks be included in the minutes. Leave is granted. And the governance manager tells me that the City of Marion flag was flown at half mast in honour of Clem Senior today as well. So we move on to the business of the meeting. We note on page 24 of your agenda, a petition in respect of Park Holm Community Hall. I note that it wasn't entirely in the proper format required by council, but I did suggest to the governance manager that it should be treated as if it did, as a sincere expression of community interest, and members can take note of that as they wish. The subject matter of the petition, of course, is due to come back to council in 2 weeks' time at the next general council meeting. I turn to the recommendations of, or rather the minutes of the urban plan, sorry. Oh, I beg your pardon, on page 24 of the committee. Sure, so we're actually after a formal motion that the petition be noted. Moved, Councillor Blescu, second, Councillor Crossland.
Question.
And a question. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, the question is, as the petition meets no standard of the petitions as published on our website, can we formally accept a petition which is completely incorrect, reformatted with no addresses and proper details of the people allegedly signing it?
I suggest that it's a matter of discretion. It is entirely up to council. Now, I've taken the step of saying it should go on the agenda, but it's up to council whether it wishes to note the petition or not. I suppose the intermediate step is to note the petition but give it weight according to the fact that it doesn't bear the addresses of all the signatories. Does that answer the question, Councillor?
It does in a way, but I don't know if you can call it an official petition when it doesn't meet any of the standards, and we are then setting a precedence for anyone else that wants to do a petition.
Well, Councillor Crossland,
just leave it blank.
Sorry, I will correct you on one point. I'm not calling it an official petition. I particularly noted that it didn't meet the usual requirements. We can nonetheless treat it as a petition if that be the decision of council. So it's been moved. Just say, is that seconded by Councillor Hull? Did you wish to speak to it, Councillor Blesker?
Yeah, look, you've probably seen the correspondence that I did advise them that if they were to put forward a petition, that it does need to go through certain requirements. I would recommend that the addresses be blacked out, because a lot of people that do live on their own, although that would still be provided for anyone to check for clarity around the chamber. This is something they organised, I think, just out of politeness we can note it, but if we are using it as something by which we need to scrutinise the support and check and double check, then obviously it wouldn't have the same gravity as one that fit all the rules. But I think just to discount it may be seen a little bit too bureaucratic and heartless by the people involved. So I do ask members to note it more, I guess, out of courtesy than recognising it as a valid petition that crosses all the T's and dots all the I's.
Councillor Holt.
Mr. Mayor, whenever we hear from our community, we need to be respectful. That's why we're here. It's, you know, whilst we have to have some business acumen and be businesslike in our approach, at the same time we need to temper that with the fact that we are community representatives, and the more we hear from the community, the better. And if it's in a format that's not conventional, so be it. Mr. Mayor, to actually deny this petition would be churlish, I think. And really, just to sum this up, Mr. Mayor, we need to pick our fights. I'm right with Councillor Croslin and other councillors with their endeavours to scrutinise this, but when it becomes obvious that there's a significant community backlash and a desire to keep the hall, and you know, as I said the other night, I'm hopeful that this will actually bring about a better functioning hall, that they'll realise that the council wants community engagement, not only in terms of telling us they want to keep it, but also how to run it and to be embedded in the management of the hall. And I think that's probably where we're heading with that. If that's not the case, maybe we should be looking for external bodies to help run our halls, and I don't think we've probably breached that subject enough. And I think I did talk to Councillor Croslin a little while ago about that. Organisations like the YMCA, which we're already using at one of our facilities, I think there's a big debate to be had and a big discussion to be had. But at the same time, we need to actually take on board what our community wants. And by being seen to be churlish and maybe even disrespectful is not a good look. We need to go forward with some balance on this. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that we shouldn't scrutinise it. We got away with Top Hall, Mr. Mayor. And there's probably a lot of other halls, pieces of land that are not used or utilised that we can look at for efficiencies.
Speaking against the note, the motion, that we note and consider the petition. Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. We now go to the minutes of the Urban Planning Committee meeting. Find that on page 31 of your agenda. It's a straightforward motion to receive the minutes. Councillor Pryor to move.
Yeah, just move as written, thank you.
Seconded Councillor Crossland. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously, thank you. And now we turn to the perennial topic of George Street and Dwyer Road, page 39 of the agenda. Now that was a matter of Councillor Pfeiffer's leaving the room. Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Members, you would have seen the motion that I distributed via email to provide you the opportunity to consider a trial. It's now positioned on the screen. The key difference to what I distributed yesterday is that the trial is only a three-month trial now. After feedback from around the chamber, 3 months is a more palatable approach. I just wanted to turn to some diagrams, if I could, thanks Yvette, of the area, just to give you a bit of an understanding for those members that may not be familiar with the area we're talking about. So what you can see on the screen at the moment
is a map of the Oaklands Park Marion area through to Westfield Marion from Marion Road. Thanks, Yvette. If you could go to the next one. Currently, the bus route through to the shopping centre runs through there from Marion Road through Finner Street all the way through to Richmond Avenue there and out to Diagonal Road. Thanks, Yvette. Currently, the flow of traffic that we're talking about flows partly down Finner Street, and then onto George and Dwyer, being the horizontal lines across the screen there, and then out to a couple of different points, and there are other points, but they're two of the primary ones on the Westfield side. We've got traffic counts, and we've taken them over a number of years now. It was worth noting in the report, it talked about Finner Street being roughly 10,000 currently, and that's actually taken at that top end, which will count for traffic that flows on George, Dwyer, and of course down the rest of Finner Street. Thanks, Yvette. So the proposal is highlighted there, which is a temporary trial of a road closure right in the middle of the mix. And what we intend to do by proposing a trial is to put traffic back on the road that is actually built for more traffic, and that is Finner Street. Finner Street, if you go back in history, was the main road through from Marion Road before that was originally bridged over the creek, and it went through the township of Marion, as many of you would know. Finner Street has properties along there. It is a residential area as well as some aged care facilities. It is a wider road. It has properties that have far more separation from the roadway as well as between one another than, say, the denser George and Dwyer roads. Thanks, Yvette. So the net result of, the previous slide was showing you what would happen for the first drive through the area. That was the orange lines. The green lines here show where traffic and behaviours will change, and they'll end up flowing back down that Finner Street, which is the main road, and then back out into Marion, and that you can sort of gauge the two directions that'll go. So that's the intent of a trial road closure, and we want to test the hypotheses that's been presented here. Thanks, Yvette. Can you go to the next one? There is a counter argument, of course, which is that traffic will be diverted through the residential streets to the north. I don't believe that's necessarily the case, and we won't know unless we do a trial. The way around that would be floated is that people would go up Nixon, Oliphant, potentially, up and around and down.
Councillor Hutchinson, it's been drawn to my attention. You've gone over your 3 minutes, and there is a discretion, but you'll need to finish up very quickly now.
Okay, thanks, Yvette. Can you go to the next one? So that's Dwyer Road. If you haven't been down it, thanks, Yvette. The next one. And that's Finner Street. It is a wider, sweeping road which can cater for greater traffic volumes. Thanks, Yvette. And there's another shot of Finner Street as well. So, members, I hope you can support at least a trial. I don't want to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on one treatment, which will end up being many millions of dollars once you add three or more treatments along this this area, and that's potentially, you know, $1.5 million or more. So I don't want to go down that path and waste 200K straight up. Thank you.
Is that seconded? Seconded, Councillor Croston.
Thank you. I'll second this motion. I had two choices. It was either this one or do nothing. This particular area will have significant benefits once the Oaklands Crossing is completed. I remember on the last debate, the reason we considered this was because at the time there was no Oaklands Crossing renewal or work anticipated. That's no longer the case. We've also got the Darlington upgrade, which is going to increase significant traffic to this area. I believe a trial is worth having. It's not very costly. It will give us some more statistics and information. I'm loath to do anything which ultimately puts more traffic onto the side streets, which haven't normally had any traffic. Councillor Hutchinson is correct. Finnish Street is much wider and is actually designed to take more traffic. However, I do note from the report that it's already carrying 3,000 more cars than that type of road should carry. So pretty much it's a catch-22 situation, but I would ask that people support the trial. It's only 3 months. It will give us some valuable data, and hopefully we'll know a little bit more about what's happening with the Oaklands Crossing.
Is there anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Byron.
I question the spending of anything at the moment when we know that there is going to be traffic having to travel through these areas while the Darlington Expressway and also the Oaklands Crossing is being done. I don't see the value of a study being done when we know there will be changes when those other sections of road are done. So what we study now is not what's going to be in the future and what we need to fix in the future. We know traffic's going to go through there. Whilst the Oaklands Crossing in particular is being done and the Darlington Expressway, traffic on Sturt Road is so busy, particularly during peak hours. People are going to travel through this area. A road blockage is not going to stop that travelling in other areas through that area. I know I travel through there, particularly during peak hour. I know that people are going to still do that. There is going to be more traffic through those that suburb area because of the roadworks that are going to be happening.
Is there anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Councillor Fry?
Look, I think this is a really tough problem, I think, is how I want to start this. I agree with a lot of different opinions on this. I agree that we're probably not going to fix the problem with a roadblock here. This is a trial. This is to see what happens. There's no point in us postulating about what may happen if we spend $1 million on this road. I really want to know what's going to happen if we run a small trial like this. Now, I'm well aware of the fact that we're going to get feedback from the residents about this. I'm well aware of the fact that this is going to drop more traffic on Oliphant Avenue. I probably have more concerns about the traffic going between Boyle and Inverness. That is a really bad intersection. We do not want to funnel traffic there, and we're going to, but that's something that we just have to wear for this trial. So, in short, why are we going to do this is because it's a short trial. We need a point in the sand. Okay, we don't have, other than the current traffic monitoring or monitoring the current situation, we don't have any points in the sand. We need to try something, and this is what I think we should try. Thanks.
Is there someone else speaking against the motion? Councillor Hull?
Mr Mayor, I am going to speak against it. But if it got up, I wish it will. But the reason why I'm speaking against it is because my gut feeling is that it's going to cause significant community uproar. Even before I was elected on this council, I sat in the gallery and listened to the debate about removal of speed humps in the area. I remember Colin Cordell, who went on to become the member for Mitchell, sitting just over there where Councillor Appleby is, who was saying, advocating for the removal of those devices. It was a contentious and emotive issue then. There's been two significant meetings in recent times in the last council period where this room was full of people. The last one was the more conciliatory meeting where we actually started to get the community to understand there is a problem and the council should be working through it. This is actually a red rag to a bull blocking off their road. And they'll react. They'll react. And I think we should be prepared for it. And knowing that, I can't possibly support it. What I support is the administration's report, their recommendation. We've worked through this. The ward councillors have met and met and met. We've met with the residents. We've worked through this. This is an affordable option of what's proposed in the recommendation. No traffic device is cheap. You don't get much change out of $100,000 for a roundabout. So, and not only that, that intersection there alongside a state facility needs to be improved in terms of its appearance, its functionality, pedestrian safety, and all the rest that goes along with it in the report. I support that. I support the staff on this. And I urge you to actually trial this. During the construction phase, guess what? There's going to be a partial, there's going to be a road closure for a period of time, weeks maybe. You know, that could actually bring about the same effect that's expected from the motion at hand. That you might actually change driver behaviour by the fact that they've gone somewhere else and gone a different way. I don't agree with Councillor Byram. I don't think we should be encouraging that as a thoroughfare during the Darlington upgrade or the Oakland's crossing. The people are putting up with enough as it is. That's not my motive, is to keep it open for those state government projects. The state government should be managing that, not the Marion Council. So I urge you members to consider as an alternative motion the recommendation put up by the council staff, which is based on literally years of consultancy, consultation and advice from experts.
Is there anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? If not, then Councillor...
Just a question. I just wanted, first of all, staff's feedback on the proposal. So, just the proposed motion, just some feedback on that.
We'll answer that. The feedback that you've got on option 3 in the report, can you let us know what that is, please?
On
Luke's
option?
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, through the chair. It's going to be very difficult to work out where the traffic goes as a result of this closure. I've looked at it and I think it's going to go on to Oliphant. I also think there's going to be a deviation to the south around Inverness, and like we talked about before, that's not a very desirable route, but it's the most direct route. I can't see traffic using Finnis at all, because at the end there's nowhere to go. You know, one of those diagrams showed coming out right at the base of Finnis, right at the intersection of Sturton Diagonal. You can only turn left there. So they're not going to be taking that route. So the thing that's going to happen is they're going to use the other local streets. We, as Councillor Hall said, we've had plenty of discussions with residents. One of the things that we really took a lot of punishment on a while ago was do not do anything that transfers traffic to other streets. You can solve this problem if you like, but don't transfer traffic to other streets. And I must say also, a 3-month closure is going to be very difficult for us to assess. It's a very short period of time. Once it gets out there, we've got to do some assessments. We've also got to start surveying residents about what they think of the closure. Because remember, after 3 months, under the Road Closing Act for traffic purposes, it opens again. So we'd have to go through the whole process again if it was a success, with consultation to residents to see if they want to do it again. So the time period is very short. In fact, we were talking in our office today and we wanted 9 months so we could assess it properly, not 3.
That was the question. Did you wish to speak in favour of the motion? No? Question? Yeah.
A point was made about would it be better to assess spending any money on infrastructure after Oaklands Crossing was finalised? Because I observe one of the recommendations is to spend a significant amount of money as part of several stages.
Yes, go ahead, please answer.
Through the chair, that's a very logical thought. One could say the best approach to this is to wait and see what happens and then see what we're left with, because we do not know how much traffic is diverting through these streets to go east-west because of that crossing. There could be 10% of it, there could be 30%. We don't know.
Any other question? Thank you, Your Worship. I've heard all sides of the debate tonight, and really it resembles the community division around this matter, and there's about 3 different sides to it.
A few points that I wanted to make were that more than 75% were non-residential users of these streets when we did a number plate survey. More than 75%. So when we talk about where the backlash is going to come from, it is directed at the target market. The trial is cost effective, and we can always come back to what's been proposed by staff. We heard that this has been years of consultancy, and really, where has it gotten us? It's gotten us nowhere, and only numbers have increased over that time. I won't reflect on the previous examples put up by staff around multiple closures and multiple devices. They were naturally going to be rejected by the community. So, members, please give this a go, and at least it's cost-effective. We get some more information. We can make some more informed decisions further down the track. And honestly, waiting for Oakland's crossing, you could be waiting another 10 years to do anything there. So let's give it a go now.
All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, that motion is defeated.
Division.
Division is called. All those in favour of the road closure motion, please stand in your place. Councillors Hutchinson, Pryor, Valescu and Crossland, you can sit down. Those against the motion were Councillors Kerry, Telfer, Hull, Westwood, Byram and Appleby. So to resolve the matter, I invite the councillors to bring a fresh motion. Councillor Hull.
Move the motion as printed, Mr. Mayor.
Very well. Take, please speak to the motion.
Mr. Mayor, as I alluded to, that this is a recommended motion by the administration. It's a very delicate and sensitive spot, this. It's been an issue for years. And this one is, compared to what was proposed at the other end of the problem, is more affordable. We don't have the same drainage issues at that intersection. It's viable in terms of access and egress for properties. And in terms of streetscaping and entry statement, this is a high profile area. It's right alongside one of the state's sporting facilities and on a major thoroughfare and close to the Marion Civic area. So it actually has got a lot going for it apart from traffic management. But the traffic management issue is the key one. Now, while this is under construction, there will be weeks of a road closure. We'll bring about possibly change in driver behaviour because people will think, well, I'll find a different way. And my experience is that when people do go a different way, they get into the habit of going the other way and they might not come back. But only time will tell. Mr. Mayor, this is as much a trial as the previous motion. But it's going to be more acceptable to the community. The community, by large, will actually accept this. There won't be the same reaction, and there would have been a heck of a reaction to the last motion. This is more digestible. And I think that whilst some of the residents in Dwyer Road and George Street might not be as happy with this motion as the previous one, at least it's actually not going down do nothing. It's not the do nothing option. And, you know, it's meeting halfway. This is meeting the issue halfway. And I just urge you to consider supporting this as meeting the issue halfway and at least doing something to try and ease the problem. Mr. Mayor, waiting for the Oakland's crossing to be fixed. It's 2019 when work commences, I think. Mind you, I did get a letter from Jade this evening in the letterbox to suggest it's going to happen, which is really encouraging. But the reality is that there's a problem now. The problem will be worsening over that 3 or 4 year period, particularly when work's underway. The least we can do is actually address an existing problem because the residents deserve that much. It's a gesture to those people in Crewe and George Street and Dwyer Road that we actually are facing up to the problem. And I think Wilson might not be totally satisfied. It'll be something.
I have some questions just before we go to a seconder. Question for Mr. Griffin. Councillor Hull's saying that while a raised platform at Crewe Street was being built, that there would be a road closure. Is there any suggestion there'd be a total road closure while it's being built?
Most likely we'd have to manage that traffic flow, so it'd be sort of park closures, controlled speed environments for a while. It'd be very unlikely that we could actually close the road because it isn't accessed to the park and ride facility and the neighbourhood itself. So we would have to manage that, and that would have to be part of the methodology for the construction.
Okay, second question is how effective, Mr. Griffin, do you believe that this installation will be in reducing traffic flows along Dwyer and George?
That, in fact, is probably the $64,000 question or more. That'll be very hard to predict. We would expect we would lose some traffic from that area, but whether it be a significant amount, I could not answer at this stage. The idea of the whole methodology was to chip away at the problem, move from one to the other, to influence without putting anybody else at a disadvantage.
So this is sort of a $200,000 trial in a sense?
Not a trial, it's stage one. If you want to look at it that way, you'd put in one treatment, you'd measure it, you'd see what was happening, and then you'd move on to other treatments if required.
I just don't have the evidence.
No, not as through movements, we don't. We know that it'll control traffic at that particular junction because of that Crewe, which would be a benefit anyway because that's the access to the park and ride. It would create an environment because you've got that vertical shift where you have to slow down. So it would create a reasonable environment, but whether it's enough to actually influence traffic coming through the area is one of those questions what we'll have to find out.
I see. Question, Councillor Cross.
Yeah, I wonder if you could help me, because the people I've asked if you did do this type of hump treatment, I haven't found one person that would not still go down that road. If you do two, still will drive down that road. Three, maybe if you did a series, which would then become speed humps, that would put some people off. But I just wondered where we're getting this guess from that one speed hump or entry statement will actually stop people using it, because from my experience, not one person, I don't know anyone in this room that would not use that road once you do that treatment. And I just wondered if you'd found that one person that I'm looking for that would say, I'm not going to go down that road, because I haven't found one yet.
Yeah, interesting comment. According to the residents who ring me up and complain about vertical shift in their cars and how much damage we're doing the suspension, there'd be quite a few that wouldn't go down there to protect the suspension of their car. But like I said, this is stage one of a group of treatments, and we would have to measure what's happening. We do realise, and originally it was proposed to do about three of them. And part of this philosophy would be the streetscaping at the other end of at the Marion Village. So we would be hoping that those treatments put together, slow points, raised sections, etc., etc., would influence traffic.
And so what's the total cost then of all these stages? So we really need to know the cost of this trial.
Point of order.
What is the point of order, please, Councillor Hull?
The point of order is that we're only dealing with one section of this tonight, my motion. The costings on other has got nothing to do with...
There's no point of order. Mr. Griffin's just mentioned that this is potentially as part of a series of treatments, and therefore it's in order to ask about the anticipated total cost. So, Councillor Crossland, did you finish the question?
Yes, that was what would be the total cost of the envisaged total stages to actually make this thing work?
That's a question we can't answer yet, because one of the treatments is the landscape treatment of Finnis as part of that Marion Village, and that has only been partly designed. There are still a lot of issues to go through about what actual treatments we want in there, whether we want water sensitive urban design, whether we want landscaping, street furniture, etc. So that is unknown at this stage, and of course we've still got the drainage issue underneath that section of road which we'd have to replace. So there is a lot of water to go under the bridge, so to speak, and I would be very loath to put a price to that.
All right, so Councillor Velescu.
I've got a couple of questions. The first one is, the other two treatments on page 55, where there's the corner section, or raised pavement, and the big cross around George Street, is there any reason why we're not doing one of those first? Because they're more directly on the route, and quite importantly, unlike the diagonal and Crewe, they don't act in any way to deter people from using the public transport hub, which is the Oakland Station.
Okay, that's the three treatments we're really talking about, in a sense. The reason why we didn't do the Finnis Street one, of course, is that's tied up with the landscaping, of streetscaping issue of Finnis Street. And then moving into the S-Bend, so to speak, there is a significant amount of drainage underneath that road, and we would like to be in the situation of examining that first before we make those decisions. So it left us with one alternative, and that was to move down to the Crewe Street end.
I guess what I want to determine, drainage problem aside, as far as actually addressing the issue of discouraging traffic and discouraging the through traffic as opposed to possibly the transport traffic, would that S bend make more sense to be the first one?
Mr. Griffin?
Well, as I said, we would rather start from one end to the other and move our way through it, but that S bend has its own particular problems, and I don't think it was wise to bring that forward at this stage without an investigation to actually show what we needed to do. And there is a lot of stuff underneath it that is critical to our infrastructure.
With respect, though, look, that's fair enough, but I want to know if there's no infrastructure issue just as far as the placement goes for the treatment. So forget about the drainage, pretend it's all perfect. As far as discouraging traffic, would that be the best place to put it? And I wouldn't, if we were seriously thinking about it, I wouldn't discourage us finding out what it is, but hypothetically, would that be a better place to discourage the traffic?
I don't think it would be. I mean, really, we've got to work our way through this from one end to the other, or we can start in the middle. But there's no silver bullet here. That's the big issue. And we've faced that problem ever since we started this campaign, if you like, back when we did the LATM study and the workshops. There is no silver bullet to this, and that's what people seem to be looking for. But we have to take this in its entirety. We cannot say, oh, it would be better because there's no infrastructure underneath there. We can't have that luxury. We're always looking for those multiple outcomes, and we need to make sure we spend money wisely, of course. So no, there's no reason to start there. There's no reason not to start there. But those issues of investigation and what's under the road and what we have to cope with could get a situation where we had with the other one where all of a sudden it's $500,000 worth. We don't know.
So, Mr. Griffin, you're saying that it has to be taken in its entirety. The Crewe Street proposal you think would work better with the other two points at least, but one of them's tied up with streetscaping and we don't know how to cost it at the moment. The other one might have drainage issues we haven't explored, but you're still saying it should be taken in its entirety. Is that right?
Yeah, it is in a way. I'd like to be able to investigate that. I don't want to mislead council and our officers and say, you know, we can do this job and it's going to be hunky-dory. I suppose I'm being a bit cautious here. We know that there's some massive drains underneath that road. I'd like to be able to explore what condition they're in before we start covering them up with more stuff. So it's just being wise to say we need to not find out more information about that location.
All right, and why hasn't that investigation of drains taken place, given the long-running nature of the issue?
Well, it's a matter of priorities. We've got our capital works program we have to deliver, so the same people who are designing those projects, survey, et cetera, are doing that. Because this project was not up as part of that capital works project, it was not investigated at this stage. If council wants us to investigate those, well, we can.
Okay. Any other questions, Councillor Bliska?
I think I asked it before. Is this wise to proceed, seeing as we're likely to have some major works at the Oakland station? So will this be redundant if the Oaklands crossing happens?
Well, I think I said before it might be wise to wait to see what happens, but I've heard the councillor say that could not be desirable for a few of you. However, I've got to say that when we first came up with the closures back in the LATM study, we had a series of closures, but they were done on purpose. We had one closure at this location, and we had half closures elsewhere and treatment in other locations. And it was basically designed so that you couldn't shortchange the system. Like, you couldn't say, oh, I'm going to go down to Inverness Street and cut through that way. So we started bringing in other treatments, and people didn't understand why we were bringing the treatment in a location where there wasn't a problem, because we were trying to prevent one occurring there. So, but with this one by itself, whether it's going to be sustainable by itself and whether the community is going to accept it is going to be the main thing. Now, you might notice in the report there's an issue there about doing consultation with the residents in the vicinity. Now, that is a very interesting topic about what is the vicinity. Now, if you wanted to be really cruel about it, you could do the four houses that abut it, and I'm sure you'll get a different answer than going for 500 metres around it. So it's going to be really interesting if we go that way. We then have to decide how big a consultation we're going to do, and what I'm sure we'll get back some sort of backlash from the community, seeing they've told us that they don't want us transferring traffic to other streets.
I do want to come back to a question. I asked about why the investigation of the drains hadn't been done at the S Bend, and I note in the Tonkin report, page 54, talking about things that have been tried in the past, in a report to council in May 2015, a recommendation was made for the implementation of three raised pavement sections, and the middle one was at the S Bend. So how could staff have recommended to council that a raised plateau be placed there if the drains hadn't been investigated?
I have to say that was then, and this is now. We have learnt a lesson from our issues in dealing and designing and surveying and designing at Finner Street and Dorr Street, what that came about and what happened to what appeared to be a simple project. So, and we weren't aware that this would occur. So now we're stepping back and saying, okay, we don't want to be trapped and giving members a false security or a false idea of what it's going to cost. So that's why I'm saying we need to investigate it.
Okay. Other questions, or do I have a seconder? Councillor Telfer, seconding the motion. Wish to speak?
About options to dissuade through traffic, I will support the Crewe Street raised hump costing $200,000 with the diversion of $100,000. 600 from George Street to Finner Street in the short term. I know I shall get support for that money to be returned and reinstated towards traffic management solutions for George Street and Finner Street from June 2017, because we always had plan to work on George Street. This George Street's been the issue for 20 years, and the latest solution to the 4,000 cars a day down George Street was the raised George Street, Finnis Street plan. At nearly half a million, the cost of drainage being $170,000 odd, we as elected members declared it too dear. Well, we now move to picking up that $100,600 and using that as part of the streetscaping of Finnis George Street to come up with a solution. So even though I support Crewe Street to get one place in place, I still know that we have to commit in the 17-18 budget to getting the Finnis Street, George Street streetscape solutions going. My favourite solution is treatments on the corner of George Street and Finnis Street, a Marion to Township Road, like those in Railway Terrace. That is the concrete cobblestones. I can't say they don't exist. They exist in our council. There are other designs out there. The drainage design work has been done for the corner of Finnis and George. We await funding for that from the rightful budget, the stormwater budget. The streetscaping of Finnis, now that all the utilities are mapped and the lighting wires have been underground and the rough sketches are done, must begin to happen in 2017-18. We have just waited for traffic solutions for George Street for our 20 years, and this corner is well worthy of it. For 6 years, the Marion Village Master Plan has sat half completed. Complete the Crewe Street hump for Oaklands Road, but complete the Finnis George Street traffic solutions and streetscaping for Marion and for the resources of our whole city.
Thank you. Just before I call on the next speaker, a new proposal was introduced there, so I'll ask Mark Griffin, what's the staff view of the cobblestone effect as we have in Railway Terrace, for example?
The treatment we've put in Railway Terrace is using what the spoon drains going across the road and putting cobblestones in there and making them wider than they are. We do not have spoon drains going across the road at many locations along this route. We have one at Finnis and George, and I think there's one right down at Crewe Street itself. So we really can't introduce that treatment. We've got cross-section of the road is humped in the middle. We just can't go digging it up and putting a spoon drain in the middle of it because it won't work. It'll be a hazard with anything else.
But sorry, I'm just trying to understand that. Why would it be more of a hazard on George Street than it would be on Railway Terrace?
Well, the Railway Terrace design, we've got a swale that goes parallel to the shared path, and it's designed so when that fills up with water, we take water across the road to the drainage system. So we've got spoon drains going across the road. Those have been cobblestoned and taken a bit wider than normal, so we get a speed effect as well. So we're using basically what we already had as a means to try and control the traffic. But we haven't got that situation here. We've got one spoon drain, well, basically two, going across the road, and they are right at each end of the areas.
But Mr. Griffin, what Councillor Telfer is suggesting is that just ignore the fact that there's water that runs across the road at Railway Terrace.
Yep.
Just note the traffic calming effect, which you've just spoken about on Railway Terrace, because of the slight spoon drain with the cobblestone effect. What would be the traffic calming effect if that was replicated on George Street, for example?
Well, as I was talking before, I did talk about the vertical shift. And normally the vertical shift is where you raise the pavement and all that sort of stuff. This is where we've dipped the pavement. So that's where we're getting most of our effect with slowing the traffic down. The cobblestone's a bit rough. The spoon drain itself is on an angle, so that makes it a bit more rougher. So we're actually still getting a vertical shift. what we're talking about here is just putting them across the road at any point. We're not going to get a vertical shift with the vehicle. So,
but sorry, why couldn't you? Why couldn't you create that? That's what I think Councillor Telfer was putting forward.
My emphasis was on Finnis Street, some sort of concrete banding at different spots, or treatments like at Ascot Park Railway Station, which is bricked. There are known treatments that we've used them in Ascot, in Railway Terrace, Ascot Park.
But again, we're not putting in a device, we're just putting in a different road surface. That will make a bit of noise as you drive over it, and probably annoy the people that live right next to it, but it will not slow vehicles down because we haven't got any lateral shift or any effect on the vehicle.
But, and yet you say there is that effect when they're put in Railway Terrace, Ascot Park.
Yeah, because we've introduced them with the spring drain. So we've got a lateral, we've got a vertical shift, a dip. So we've slowed the vehicle down.
All right. I think we're just not speaking the same language, but we can take it up after this meeting. We've had a mover and seconder. Is there anyone speaking against the... Oh, you have a question, Councillor Blesky? Speaking against the motion, Councillor Blesky?
Look, I think it's admirable that everyone wants to do something, wants to have a solution. And I think that, that my concern is that it... And, you know, look, the residents want some action on it, and I can understand their frustration for many years. My concern is that we're going to be spending money in the wrong part of this. This is the only entrance from people, I guess, south into Oaklands Park Railway Station. So there is already, because especially in the busy times down Crew Street, there is always the lineup of traffic that does slow down. I don't think the treatment is best placed there in the first place. I guess also we don't know what's going to happen with Oakland Station. I think there's a political imperative for something to happen. The seed funding has started. I'm optimistic that, you know, in the next few years we'll have something. I think that's the time for us to assess where we spend the big money. If we need to spend the big money, I hope Council does not shy away at that point to do it. But I don't know if now's the time to do it. And we might find that we need a different solution. You know, I don't know whether we consider something like having restrictions for streets at a certain time. So, you know, what are the peak times where there's lots of traffic? Okay, you can't go through this section. But, you know, obviously that needs to be researched. It can't sort of be off the cuff. So that's where I was supporting the previous motion, but I can't support it. I think it's the beginning. On its own, it won't achieve much. It's part of another plan, but why would you start it when the problem, we don't know if it'll be as significant or whether it'll be different once that major piece of Oakland's infrastructure is completed. I guess I just go back to what you said, Mr. Griffin, and I may be cherry-picking, but you said it would be logical to wait until the Oakland stuff is done, and you're still nodding, so through the chair. Of course, so based on that alone, I think it's best to hold off and wait until we know what's going on and make our decision and spend the money that's required at that time.
Anyone else speaking for the motion? Question, Councillor Westwood?
Yes, I'd just like to ask some advice from Mr. Griffin. In your opinion and experience, do the plateaued humps tend to be more effective than these raised sections of road? For instance, if we did have, that was shown on one of the pages here, the plateaued humps along Dwyer and George Street, would that be, I wonder, more of a deterrent to traffic and a slowdown to traffic than the treatments that are suggested at the moment, raised roadway sections?
Yes, the short answer is yes, it would be more effective, but the consequences of that is what happened back in 1990 when we put speed humps, which are very similar to those plateau humps, in George Street, all the traffic diverted onto Oliphant, and then there was those people in those areas were rioting council, suggesting that why should they wear the problem for somebody else, and a year later those devices were pulled out. So council paid to put them in, and then they paid to pull them out.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? Question from Councillor Appleby.
If it's found that this treatment exacerbates the problem, how much will it cost to rip it up?
That's going to be a hard one to answer, because you have to put a new pavement down or build one up, so we say, and then to take it out, you'll have to then remove all that pavement and then rebuild it again, so to replace the road pavement. So it's going to be a really difficult one to really work out at this stage, but it will be a significant amount of money. It won't be the $200,000, I don't believe, but it may be, I don't know, maybe 50, 60, who knows. It would be a very hard one to work out.
Any other questions? Or is someone speaking in a question? Councillor Crossland.
The way I'm looking at this, the ideal solution for everyone would be to force people to stay on the main streets and use Sturt Road. How is these treatments, or the treatment and then these treatments, going to force people onto Sturt Road rather than use other residential streets, which would be completely unfair on those residents?
Mr. Griffin?
Yeah, that is a big question, no matter what treatment we do. And you could say the temporary closure or a road closure has the same problem. What's going to force people to use the main road system? The main road system is, it's deplorable in peak hour times. You can come down Marion Road and wait for the three cycles of the light to turn to get through. So that could be 9 minutes. Coming through this area, east-west movement may take you a minute and a half. So you can sort of see, and we always say, as long as the motorist believes his wheel's turning, doesn't matter what route he takes, that's a win. And that's why one of the problems is, whatever we propose, the alternative routes around it become attractive. And then we get into that dilemma of transferring traffic to other streets again. So I really can't answer that question, but it's basically common to every one of the devices.
Women drive cars too, but I know what you mean, Mr. Griffin. Anyone else with questions? Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. I've got a question for Mr. Griffin. So the expense of this is $200,000 to hopefully slow people down. Would we be better off buying a used Ferrari and just moving it around the place so people slow down to take a look at it?
I think we'll take that as a rhetorical question. You could use Councillor Pryor's, perhaps. Now, the question was whether there is for the motion. Is there a speaker for the motion, Councillor Westwood?
Yes, there doesn't seem to be any magic solution to this. And also I would say that we are trying to encourage people to take mass transport, like going to the train, and anyone who lives on the on the eastern side of Marion and those kind of areas wouldn't want to skirt all the way up to Oakland's Road or down to Sturt Road if they could help it, and they'd prefer just to go straight through. Or maybe they don't bother catching the train. So we really should be encouraging people to catch the train, and maybe one day a solution is that we actually build a proper roadway through so it connects from the railway to the eastern side of Marion and so forth. But as it is at the moment, I would support the motion within the spirit of expecting that the other two treatments are pursued in the not-too-distant future. But I do cite an example of what I mentioned earlier in questions, that the plateaued humps, which in particular I cite the ones in Mitchell Street, Goodwood, that have acted really well once they were installed years ago, because I actually was experienced in driving down that road many times as a shortcut, and as soon as those humps were put in, that road had a massive decrease in traffic, and so they were highly effective. But here we've been advised that it would tend to spread the traffic through other roads, and I can understand that. So I support this motion with the general understanding, or hope that we do get the other two treatments done that accompany that in the reasonably near future. Thank you.
Anyone else speaking against the motion? Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. Members, putting plateaus just provides a temporary impediment to a driver. They essentially something you cross over and then you can continue on your journey without issue. So I wouldn't support a large raised section, and nor would I support it at Crewe Street. We do not know whether Crewe Street will even be the same length as it is at the moment once the Oaklands Crossing goes in. We don't know what the configuration of the roads will look like there, so our $200,000 could be wasted as part of that. So I would be more supportive of something around the S bend in the middle. However, at this point, I think the cost, it is all cost inhibitive, given that we need to spend arguably more than $1 million on a range of devices, and it could be closer to two. So I wouldn't support that. Thank you.
Anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? No, then I ask Councillor Hull, to close the debate.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Members, for years we've discussed this stretch of roadway. I remember calling into a resident's home on my push bike. I used to ride my bike down there quite a lot. That was well before the last council term. So it's been a long time that I've been talking to residents about this. Over that period of time, there's absolutely no treatment there at all. Nothing's been done apart from putting up some signs, local traffic only. That's all we've done. Yet, a couple of blocks away in Trot Grove, we've had devices there for years, which directs traffic down the other way. So, you know, we're being a bit inconsistent. Hurry up and wait. That's what some councillors want us to do. Hurry up and wait. Wait for what? You know, the Oaklands Crossing is not going to be the panacea. There'll be still some people who will want... There's always going to be traffic lights where the Oaklands Crossing is. There's always going to be some people who dodge those traffic lights, Mr. Mayor, and cut through to Marion Road. Now, there's a question about, will this exacerbate the problem? Mr. Mayor, the problem, going by the statistics, is not speeding, it's the volume of cars. I can't see how this treatment is actually a traffic magnet. How could it possibly increase traffic? It's designed to actually deter people from going down there. It's designed to create an impression that you are entering a residential area, and really, it's designed for the local traffic. And there should be an entry statement there, by the way, too, Mr. Mayor, to define this area in a visual sense. It's a high visual area. Also, the pedestrian refuge that will be created. If you have a major swimming event on, the people coming off the train walk right through this area to get to the state aquatic facility. That's if they go that way, or they might go around the other side. But it is a high-use area. It's a high-use area for people getting off the train, going home, or, for that matter, getting off the train to go to Westfield. Now, if it's the motives of some members that they don't want to spend money, well, look, it's unhealthy if you actually turn a blind eye to a need. Over many years, this room's been full of people concerned about traffic management. We've had many a Messenger press article about this stretch of road. If you want to turn a blind eye to that, just put yourself in their shoes and maybe just for a moment think that it might be your ward. And what would you do if it was your ward? Would you actually be looking at trying to address an agile problem that has been an issue for years? It's over to you.
What bothers me is the information we've heard tonight about the scheme favoured by staff of having three raised plateau devices. This is seen to be the first of three, so it's called a graduated approach in the report that's come to council. We've got one part of the total solution, which is linked to streetscaping, which may or may not happen and which hasn't been costed. We have another part of the total solution, which may run into problems because of drains under the S-bend, and therefore the cost is incalculable at the moment. So that says to me that the preparation work hasn't been done for this solution. If it was put forward as a standalone and final solution, then I can say that we have the information in front of us. But if it's put forward as one third of a package and we don't know the rest of the package, I find it difficult to support. So I'll cast my vote against the motion. Division's called, so would those in favour of the motion please stand in their place? And those councillors are councillors Kerry, Telfer, Hull and Westwood. Those just remain standing for a moment. Those against are councillors Hutchinson, Pryor, Byram, Valescu, Appleby and Crossland. The motion is defeated on the division. We are now left with a situation where we've tried two solutions. There are three options mentioned in the report. The only other option that's in the report is to note the report and take no further action. Now, that in a sense leaves us two options, because one option is to leave it there tonight, and those who are looking for solutions can go away, do some costing investigation, whatever, and come back. If there was a motion that was passed to take no further action, then of course we can't revisit it for 12 months. That's the only significance. So, in your hands, if I don't have anyone moving, then I'll go to the next item of business. Councillor Hutchinson?
I'll have another go. I'll note the report, and we'll also add that council undertake further investigation to provide staff provide council with a report on all three treatments by October, second meeting in October.
That's providing just I'll just take Mr. Griffin's input on the motion. Mr. Griffin, the intent of the motion is that council notes the report and instructs staff to investigate the installation of all three raised plateau installations and bring a report back by the end of October 2016. So is that feasible from your point of view?
Yeah, I don't know if it is feasible, because an element of that is the streetscaping proposal, which has got to come to council and a priority system for doing that.
So can you give us a realistic time frame as a suggestion?
Well, let's say if we wanted to do that, we'd have to get the streetscaping strategy through council and the mechanism for choosing which scheme goes first. Now, assuming that the Marion Village is pretty high on that list, well, you know, we may not even be able to build the whole three of them, but to do the the costing on all those, I would say it would have to be the end of the year to actually do all the work on those.
Councillor Hutchinson, would you be prepared to have February 2017 in your motion?
I only want three devices. I'm putting the streetscaping plan to a side. I want the costing of the three devices alone.
Right. Mr. Griffin?
Well, I still think we would need a reasonable amount of time. 2 months may not be long enough to do that. So if we could get, say, either November or December would be better.
Mr. Lyons? By the December General Council meeting?
Yes.
Right, so has that been recorded? Now, I just want to make sure you're happy to investigate and cost all three traffic control treatments. Is that? I thought there was that element to what you were suggesting. And then just delete the word on. Delete. Yep, that's it. Okay, that's your motion, Councillor Hutchinson. Did you wish to speak to it after all that? Is that seconded?
I'll second it, Mr. Mayor, just to keep this alive, because otherwise the residents are going to feel that we've taken the no, do nothing option. But I'll make this comment that even if we get this report, this council only has the capacity maybe to do one of these devices in any 1 year. So I just bring it back to reality that, we can't afford to do all three at once. Well, we could if we take the money away from the south, maybe. That'd work. No, we can't do it all at once, to be fair. We only have a certain amount of money in that budget. And, we need to do it in a staged way. Mr. Mayor, I don't want to harp on this, but my motion was to actually do the first stage and make a start. But anyway, let's hurry up and wait. All right, I've got no choice for that. But I'll second this just to keep it alive so the residents don't think we've deserted them again. And I can understand that they may well feel that way.
Is anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor Crossland.
I'd like to move an amendment.
An amendment?
That we note the report and we wait until the outcome of the Oaklands Crossing.
Point of order, Direct Officer.
Councillor Hutchinson raises the point of order that's direct opposite to the motion. I believe the motion, the amendment, is out of order. It is something that could be moved after the report comes back, but to say that we're not going to do it no matter what the report says is in a sense negativing the call for a report. So let's test this first. There's a mover and a second. Is anyone speaking against the motion? Then Councillor Blescu. Yes, question.
Yes, my concern is that we need to have all the costings, and all of that involves everything. When we got the costings for the Cove Civic Centre, there was a shortfall of about $1.7 million because we actually needed to do drainage work as well, and that work was reprioritised from other sections of the city. So I think it's pertinent for us to have all the information we need to spend on it. So my question is, will we have enough time by then to get that information? And secondly, if we don't, would it be appropriate for us to be advised on the 13th of December that more time is needed or beforehand? And what would be the process there?
Mr. Griffin, any advice?
Oh, I think we've already committed ourselves to actually do that work and give all the costings. The only thing that you could say as an amendment to that is that all the infrastructure be costed, all associated infrastructure to the project be...
Fully costed? Well, Councillor Hutchinson's motion was just to look at the traffic treatments in isolation because of the advice that if we were including the related possible streetscaping,
it would take longer because we haven't even begun that streetscaping process. So, well, Councillor Lescu, does that answer the question?
Sort of. I guess I hear we may have that information, we may not. Maybe the streetscaping may not be as important, but the stuff about the drainage, that's important. We need to have all these figures, and the money's there for streetscaping, so it's not as if it's going to be extra, but we need to know what it'll be. That's my view anyway. Just want to have a clear picture.
Anything more from staff on that?
Well, I'm looking at it on the basis that we will do those three devices in the streetscape. I've been sort of told that we won't be doing that sort of costing. That'll be a separate process. So we will do the three devices that Councillor Hutchison has asked us to do. We'll look at the cost of those, the traffic components, the road components, and the drainage components. In other words, everything it takes to build those three structures.
And by December, we certainly will have gone some way down the road in respect of streetscaping across the city and prioritisation, etc. Whether we've got there with this particular vicinity, we may not have, but at least at that time we can take stock of what more needs to be done. Any more questions? Then anyone speaking against the motion? No, well, I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, it's carried by majority. So, over to staff with that homework, and we'll move on to the next item of business. I would invite Councillor Pfeiffer to come back in. He's been absent for that past item. On page 62 of the agenda, Glandore Laneways, Councillor Pfeiffer to move.
Thank you, Your Worship. Yeah, quick and dead in this place. Thank you. Look, I move this motion, and I don't think I'm going to speak to it very much. Look, it is really just a motion that is it's to continue on with the procedure that we've already started, and furthermore, it's to further the position that this council has previously agreed to. Thank you.
Is that seconded? Councillor Kerry, did you wish to speak? Just before we go further, can I just ask a question? The motion refers to transfers of land to owners, and I note that the report's not confidential, but has council previously had the dollar figures related to land transfers, those particular land transfers? Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair, yes, that was considered in the August report that Council considered in confidence with that, and those contracts have now been finalised in line with what Council considered in that report.
Okay, it's just hard to remember from a year ago. Other questions?
Two questions. Can you just remind me how many residents did these laneways affect that live in that area?
Through the Chair, from memory it was 40 households. What I will do is check that and confirm it and send it in an email to members.
Thank you, and I know this, we've had the figures before, but can you, just for the public here, how much did this project cost Council?
Through the Chair.
I'll just jump in there. So is this the figure that was previously given to us, but there's a confidentiality order? I don't mind, you know, things being out in the open, but I just want Council to be aware of what we're doing, that's all. If we are disclosing something that hasn't previously been disclosed. bearing in mind that I think we had a total figure which didn't then relate to individual properties, as I recall. Ms. Dixon.
Through the Chair, so I have that report the Council considered in confidence, and the resolution was to keep the minutes and the report confidential.
So if, I mean, there's nothing to stop us from, well, Ms. McKenzie, is there anything to stop us from discussing those matters if we wish to discuss it in the absence of confidential order?
Through the Chair, if the report and the minutes are confidential, then I would recommend, if you wanted to discuss it, to move into confidence to do so.
Councillor Crossland, it's with you. What would you like to do?
I will move that way, but I don't think the total amount Council spends on this should be kept confidential. The details of maybe where the money was spent and what money was changed hands with residents would be confidential, but I don't think the total cost to the ratepayer should be confidential.
A point of order.
Right. Which was in the order of around about $1 million, approximately, off the top of my head.
Well, can I have advice from staff about the budget for the project? Because that might satisfy Councillor Crossland's question.
Through the Chair. So the budget was $1,063,772.
Thank you. Is that just in this year's budget? Because I thought it was slightly higher than that.
Let's make a point. I think the original budget was $850,000. I think then we voted to increase that amount. Correct me if I'm wrong.
So either way, that sounds about the right figure.
Approximately.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, give us the exact figure for the record.
So the original project budget was $7,181.
And that total figure? That's over the whole life of the project.
Yep, for the total project.
Number of years.
Yes.
Okay, 2010. Yeah. Sure. Sorry, what was the 1 point something million figure?
Sorry, through the Chair, so you want the total figure that Council advised?
The total figure, yep, I just wasn't sure it was project, clear before.
Yep, was $1,063,772.
Okay, thank you. So that's the answer to the question. Is there anyone speaking against the motion? Councillor, a comment? Yeah, that's okay.
So we're remonstrating over $850,000 for these laneways, which I've supported, by the way. But just a few moments ago, we remonstrated about spending
Councillor
less
Hull,
money on a thoroughfare.
If you're speaking in favour of the motion, then it's time for the meeting to move on.
I did say it was a comment.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So I'm just pointing out that a laneway in Glendale gets $850,000, and so they should. But a major thoroughfare with thousands of cars could not attract the appropriate money for traffic management.
Oh,
so I just wanted to make that point. That's
thank you. Perspicacity in relation to irony. Councillor Valescu?
Look, I do support this. I'm aware of this issue for many years. When my mother was in the ward as a ward councillor, there was a problem. And I guess the...
Are you speaking against the motion?
I'm speaking in favour of the motion.
No, well, we don't need any more speakers in favour. Is anyone against the motion? All right, I'll put it to a vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, carried by majority. Sorry to cut people short, but, you know, if we're all on the same page, there's no point spending a lot of time on it. Thank you for your cooperation on that. So, page 75, there was a question on notice. I suppose this raised the question again that I just raised was, are these figures about legal costs from a confidential report? Can staff advise?
Through the chair, yes they are, but there's no reason as to why these figures cannot be disclosed publicly.
Okay, so that's a staff decision rather than a council decision about disclosure, is it?
Through the chair, this is just the total figures. It doesn't disclose the commercial information, i.e. what the charge out rates would be from the lawyers.
Okay, well, we'll move on. Now, Councillor Gard is not here to move his motion, so we just leave that. Someone else can move it, if they wish. Councillor Hull to move.
Just speaking to it very quickly, only last Saturday night I was at a private function, and lo and behold, this topic came up, that a senior member of the Marion Bowling Club was at this function in the city of Mitcham, I might add, and they're having a look at it, and there's a bit of irony in this, that their frustration is from the parent body there's no data, so it's a bit like the basketball. However, this is actually the early stages. Look, it's indicating that this council's willing to have a look at it. Well, you know, like, I think it deserves that, because why would you actually ignore a request? In this case, it was from Mr. Giles, and we all got that letter, I think. And I've had about two letters from this chap, I think, over recent years about that. Why not just have a look at it and see whether there's any viability? Can we actually attract some attention from the parent body? Is there a desire, is there an appetite across the road to do this? I don't know whether you know whether there's any, can you confirm, Mr. Mayor, it's a question now, whether there has been any discussion by the Marion Bowling Club about a proposal or even tentative investigations along these lines?
I can say, Councillor Hull, that there was, I think, about 2 weeks ago, a meeting with a variety of clubs, including the Marion Sports and Community Club Incorporated committee representative, over at Club Marion, and out of that discussion, the desirability of an indoor bowling facility was put forward. Nothing has arisen from that, but it has been discussed, so clearly a number of people find it desirable.
Well, I'll push on with this. The sad reality is in terms of indoor bowling, lawn bowls that is, not 10-pin bowling, is that there's only one venue in South Australia, a small venue somewhere. And this has the potential of being a significant venue in South Australia, not just in Marion. And I really think that Councillor Gard's onto something. We should have a look at it. It would actually give some respect to the sport and to Mr. Giles and other people that obviously are looking at it. So I urge the members to support Councillor Gard's motion, which now is my motion.
And that was seconded by Councillor Westwood. Did you wish to speak, Councillor Westwood?
Extremely briefly, in support. I pretty well echo everything that Councillor Hull has said. No one fall over. But I think that it would be, it's a very worthwhile idea to consider. More and more, I think people who are not able to enjoy themselves outdoors will probably want indoor facilities, and this is not a bad start. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone? A question, Councillor Byron.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just have a question in regards to how we came up with our priorities for sporting last year and how this motion may affect those priorities that we have come up with previously.
Thank you, Councillor Byron. Clearly in April last year, we boiled down the various master plans of the previous council and came up with some big ticket priorities. This motion is an investigation motion, so I don't find that it cuts across that decision, because that was a decision to actively pursue a number of targets, and we've been quite successful in doing that. So I don't think if any member brings along a motion to investigate this or consult about that or get some costing on this or that, I don't think that cuts across that sort of strategic deliberation. Once we get the answers, of course, it's a discussion that then has to be had in conjunction with consideration of all of the other sports, etc. That's just my opinion.
Thank you, Worship, because I think we need to be very careful about the public thinking that this motion means we're going to do it.
Well, I hope you know they read the wording, which is more about ascertaining possible need and justification, which is an investigation process. Councillor Crossland.
I'd like to speak against the motion, if now's the time. I think this motion, unfortunately, with all due respect, cuts across what we agreed last time. If we're all going to bring motions forward for sports we want City of Marion to promote, I think we're going to get a lot of these. I prefer the structure we'd agreed on, where we sit down, we talk about all the different sports, all the different priorities, and then we come up with a priority list, and then we can focus staff time on the approved list. I think if we start doing a scattergun approach with lots of sports and waste staff's time doing more and more investigations that are possibly leading nowhere, I do believe that the public will actually think, once you start investigating it and the media report Marion to look into new lawn bowl facility, they will think that means we're looking into building one, not looking into one to discard later on. So I really don't like this way of doing business, and I prefer the strategic way we were doing things before.
Yeah, certainly we had our fingers burnt with the Parkholm Hall story and expectations being raised. Councillor Pfeiffer, to speak in favour of the motion?
No, question. Or I should speak against, whatever you prefer. Okay. Your Worship, through you, question for the staff. Was there not a proposal for an indoor lawn bowls facility included as part of the former master plan for Across the Road at Marion Sports? And can it be reminded exactly how much that was to cost, that element?
I can help you with that one, Councillor Pfeiffer.
Well, thank you.
As an ardent student of the various master plans, there was a proposal for an indoor bowling facility across Sturt Road, and the cost, I think, was $10 million towards the total $35 million of the master plan for Marion.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Staff will soon tell me if I'm wrong.
That wasn't actually Dorothy Dixer, but thank you for being so ready.
Is there anyone else speaking in favour of the motion? The mover has a right of reply.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Firstly, I don't recall any indoor bowling facility across the road. That does surprise me. Can the staff confirm that? Just to put that to rest? It was in there? Okay. Oh, well, obviously, you know, it's not as left field as I first thought. It's been discussed before, so there you go. Members, Mayor Hannan makes the point that this is only an investigative report, and I think that's what I need to highlight, underline, and have in flashing lights, that it's actually an investigative report. But members, in our endeavours, we seem to be catering for the young and able-bodied, in terms of our leisure and sporting opportunities. Members, in terms of the ageing population that we have, and we're all part of it, by the way, I don't know whether we've actually taken time out to consider that. You know, we have one of the most aged populations in the country around here, in Marion and Holthouse Bay. And Mr. Giles, in his letters to us, and they're well written, and I'll be getting back to him to let him know at least I had a go to actually explore, in big bold words, the issue that he's raised with us. So it would be a shame if we don't actually at least have a look at it. Who knows? We might be able to ascertain that there is actually monies available from other entities that might make this a reality, but we won't know unless we ask. It won't hurt us to put the toe in the water. And a note passed to me a few months ago, Mr. Mayor, reads that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. And I think that's something that we actually need to be cognizant of with all of our dealings. And this is just another one. So it's over to the members.
All those in favour, raise your hand. Councillor Hutchinson is feeling the breeze of the air conditioner. No, the arm is up. Those against, raise your hand.
Division.
The motion is lost. And the division is called. So those in favour of the motion, please stand in your place. Councillors Kerry, Hutchinson, Pryor, Hull and Westwood, you may sit down. Those against, Councillors Pfeiffer, Telfer, Byram, Valescu, Appleby and Crossland. I declare the motion lost. The staff will not be investigating such matters. Page 78, Councillor Kerry to move.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This motion is about trying to keep the current committee structure that we have in place. I think it's actually been working, it's been doing well. I think that, to be frank, it needs at least 2 years to get bedded down. I think everybody's saying that the committee structures seem to be working and they're very productive. So in terms of timing and whatnot, administration has said that they can give a report to us in October, and there'll be plenty of time to absorb that report in the interest of not having any ambushes and whatnot, so we'll have 1 month to consider it. And I'm suggesting both Deputy Mayor and the committee chairs be elected at the November meeting.
Thank you. Is that motion seconded? Councillor Westwood. Do you wish to speak, Councillor Westwood? Don't have to.
I was just looking at the wording here, and I hope it actually encompasses, the idea is to encompass all that was to be considered in October, I think. So I hope that expresses it properly. But yes, I'm happy to second the motion. Thank you.
Anyone speaking against the motion or question, Councillor?
I guess what would be beneficial would be if there'd be an informal, with a suspension of standing procedures, where people could actually discuss the various interests they may have in certain committees, and then we go into formal procedures and then vote, separate to voting for the chairs if required and things like that.
So this motion wouldn't prevent that.
Oh, okay.
Because it is saying keep the same committees, elect the positions in November, but there's nothing to forbid a suspension of standing orders and a free discussion beforehand.
Yeah. Okay.
Council may or may not want to do that at the time.
Yeah. Okay.
Any speakers against? Then I'll put the motion. Oh, sorry, Councillor Appleby.
I was going to move an amendment to make the month of October.
Is
that?
So, no, it's November in the motion, I believe.
November. So it will be considered in October. And then we vote a month later in the November meeting.
Well, sorry, let's be clear. The motion is for the positions to be decided at November council meetings. There are two meetings in November? Or one?
There's two meetings in October.
Only one?
No, two in October and one in November.
Right, so this is for those positions to be decided in November.
And Councillor Appleby, if you wanted to make that October, it would be in order as an amendment.
So I will push that.
Right, so that the amendment is that November be replaced by October. Is that? I'll just check if that's seconded. Councillor Crossan, you may speak to it, Councillor Appleby, if you wish.
I just think it's more sensible to take place in October, and I think we need to resist the urge to endlessly review things.
Councillor Crossan, wish to speak? Then I'll put the amendment to the vote. That is that the deadline or the time frame be October rather than November. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against? The motion is lost. Oh, sorry, the amendment is lost. Any more speakers who haven't yet spoken in relation to the motion? Councillor Bilescu, question?
Is it, so the mention, is it extremely problematic actually having it, having that vote happen so late for the positions?
I'll just ask Kate McKenzie, to our governance manager, to answer.
Through the chair, the main issue is in regards to the deputy mayor and the finance and audit committee member. The transition is only 3 days, so we wouldn't know until 3 days before the meeting who the deputy mayor is. That being the case, if there was matters that were being delegated from the mayor to the deputy mayor, whoever takes the position of deputy mayor is going to need to be flexible with their diary.
Look, I can see the point of the recommendation. When I came into this role, I actually did one activity, I think, a bit early as deputy mayor. So I guess flexibility either way doesn't matter, as long as there's no extra. Yeah, that's fine. I guess I'm happy to wear it.
Councillor Pryor.
Can someone tell me how this arrangement changes from our current arrangement? What the difference is?
Ms. McKenzie?
The normal practice, or the usual practice for council, has been that we've always voted on the deputy mayor during the month of October, along with the committee positions. But there's nothing stopping from council from still from undertaking this process in November. It still fits within the timeframes and the expiry of the positions.
Councillor Hutchinson.
I've got a question. If this motion wasn't successful, what would staff do in terms of progressing with this?
We'd bring the reports in October.
It might have to be September, because we've just said we don't want them in October. Anyway. Any other questions? Councillor Telfer?
Doesn't the People and Culture Committee, first week in November, do an assessment of how the committees are going and the positions are running and so on and so on?
Through the chair, the People and Culture Committee will be assessing the Finance and Audit Committee external member that's due to expire in November. That committee will then be making a recommendation to council of whether it wishes to reappoint that member or whether it wishes to go out and undertake a recruitment process.
So probably a separate issue. Yeah. Councillor Hull?
I must admit this question is based on a discussion I had with Councillor Hutchinson a few days ago. In terms of business continuity, should the council start to think about having the chair of the committees remain on that committee in order to actually retain that business continuity within the particular committee? In other words, if that chair then upstakes and moves to another committee, we don't have that continuity.
Well, Councillor Hull, that sounds like the debate to have in November, according to this motion. The motion's passed, they're the sorts of things you would want to raise in November.
Maybe a little bit earlier, but anyway.
Or
earlier. Just a thought.
It's a consideration of the final decision, but this is almost a procedural motion in a sense, not in a technical sense.
Right. Just a quick one. Can I just confirm with governance that if we vote against this motion as it stands at the moment, the reports will come back in October despite our previous vote?
Mackenzie?
Through the Chair, as the amendment was lost and as there is no current resolution on the table, so if the motion before Council was also lost, there would be no active resolution of Council, meaning that we could bring it back in October based on administration advice.
That's true. A lost amendment isn't a motion in itself, so that's quite right. Okay, that must be enough. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, motion is carried, scraped through. Now we turn to page 80. Councillor Valescu, just a question about this motion. Tell me if you agree with this or not, but my understanding of Mr. Heath's comments from a staff perspective are that the goal sought to be achieved by the motion is actually already the current situation. Is that how you read?
To some extent. I was actually, I gave this pretty early, and I was expecting a suggested motion on this. So there hasn't been any change. So I'm happy to amend it, perhaps that Council seek to allow, well, I guess, I'm happy to actually to leave it as it is, because we do that anyway. So leave the motion as it is, but bearing in mind that it's really about currently just looking at the no other option scenario that is currently available, but also looking maybe in future that we do look at our contracts if we can have that capacity. I understand the problem
I hasn't been moved yet, but I'll just ask Mr. Mitchell to comment. My concern as someone who chairs the meetings is that it's a great recipe to stay here till 1 a.m. every Tuesday if people are going to move motions about things that are already happening anyway. And that's my reading of it, but I might be missing something. Councillor Mifsud. What am I saying? Mr. Mifsud, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Hannah. And up front, just apologies. I certainly, on reading this now, I can understand that it doesn't provide the clarity that it should have, so apologies for that. I can confirm that this measure is not currently in place. Our contracts team have actually had discussions with Solo, and as is written in the report, Solo, should Council wish to support this particular measure, are more than happy within our existing contract at no additional cost to provide this service to those people who are physically unable or frail to receive these smaller bins. We can certainly do that. And if Council supports this motion, we'll be able to do that, put that in place immediately at no additional cost to Council. And in addition, we're more than happy to explore broadening those opportunities when the next contract's up for negotiation in 2017.
All right, just bear with me, Councillor Valescu. I just want to ask Mr. Mifsud a question then. So where Mr. Heath's comments say that Solo are able under our current contract to swap over a limited number of larger bins for smaller ones at no additional cost to Council, is he saying that they can do that under the current contract but it's not mandatory? I don't quite understand how that's inconsistent with the motion. Can you just clarify that?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor Hannah. And once again, I certainly acknowledge that the way we worded this is not as clear as it needed to be. So just to reaffirm, the arrangement is currently not in place. When we're following through this particular motion for Councillor Valescu, discussions were had with Solo, and they made it clear that if Council wanted to support this, then they were happy to accommodate to a limited degree to provide these smaller bins, but only on a very, very small volume basis under our existing contract. So once again acknowledge that the wording is very inconsistent. I appreciate that, but the arrangement is currently not in place.
All right.
I'm happy to leave it and get the appropriate wording and bring it back. So I'll withdraw the motion. Is it possible to do that?
No. Council of Lescu, the motion, it sounds like what's in the written advice to council is not accurate, and Mr. Mifsud's correcting it now, which means that your motion is required rather than not required. That's what I'm hearing tonight.
Okay. Well, in that,
so go
if
ahead.
If that's
you want.
The case, yeah. Look, first of all, I'd actually like to thank staff for sending this through based on some resident feedback, not only as something to consider, but also as a customer service request. And I got an email back from this elderly resident who could not believe the level of customer service that she got on this. And I think one thing that I've been cognizant of recently is the independence for older people. It's easy for us, and the advice we tend to give people is, can you get someone to help? But I guess sometimes people don't want to have to get someone to help. And I think this, on limited cases, is a great thing. The other thing we need to consider is, as our blocks get smaller, there will be less green waste. And it may actually, and the areas are smaller, and more people will probably start to need smaller bins. So having that considered as part of the contract, whether by the time the next contract happens, the way that the bins are clutched, because the problem that Solo have with this, I believe, is that they have grips designed for larger bins, so they will be tighter, and on smaller bins they will tend to damage them earlier and sooner. They have to pay for the damage. So looking at that over 80,000 residents, it can be costly. So there's a few little things that that need to be considered as part of the contract. So I'm happy for those negotiations to happen. Maybe a consideration to see where this could move in the future. It may not be an issue for a few years yet, but further down the track, in a couple of contracts' time, if it's something that we consider, especially with the densification of the population, particularly in the northern part of our city. So once again, I'd like to thank the people that acted on this. They made a huge difference to a resident's situation, and also the few residents that do get affected by this, it is a positive thing.
Is that seconded, Councillor Westwood? I'll come back to you, Councillor Byron. Councillor Westwood?
In actual fact, I'd like to also, as well as seconding it, suggest that we do change the words to accommodate what we've learned so far, so that we say that council make available smaller waste and recycling bins to residents on request through our contractor. So if someone can tidy it up if they want to. But I think this is not quite right according to the information we've just received. So we don't need to negotiate the contract. Quite available through the contract.
I think we do need to negotiate the contract.
If you think that's all right. I'll still second it. That's fine.
All right. Councillor Westwood, are you happy?
I'm happy to second it. That's fine.
Okay. Councillor Byron.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just have a slight problem with the wording, and so I have a question in regards to that the wording is talking about smaller waste and recycling bins. Our red waste bins are currently the 120 litres, so are we talking about going smaller than that for the waste bins, or are we only talking on the recycling bins in that the yellow and the green bins, that they go from a 240 litre to a 120, and that this is to accommodate people who have problems with the size of the bin.
So
can we clarify that and make it clearer?
Well, it's really a question for Councillor Blesky. Quick answer.
Green
and
yellow. So, Councillor Blesky, you were only talking about the green bins, were you?
Green and recycling. I'm happy to put green waste instead of... and recycling bins.
Green
obviously.
Waste and recycling. So if that... Does the meeting grant leave for those words to be incorporated into the motion? So, to help Azarek, where it says smaller waste and recycling, that should say green waste and recycling? Yeah, I think that's it.
All right, so leave was granted. Mover a second. Anyone speaking against it? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Only one more item of business before we go. Councillor Gard actually wrote to me, Mr. Scull, and I think other members of council probably, saying that he actually needs to take leave for a period of time. So would someone like to move that he be granted leave for this meeting and the next meeting? That moved Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded Councillor Kerry. Thank you. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. I've been told he'd be back on deck in September, so if it needs to be looked at again, it can be. But otherwise, he's going to take a short break from council business, as other things to attend to. Councillor Hull, yes? That's right, we're not considered monkeys anymore, Councillor Hull. I declare the meeting closed.